Today is August 17th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing from Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover tokenized settlement crossing into majority share territory at Figure Technologies, the repricing of AI agent infrastructure for fraud and compliance work, and a run of non-bank mortgage credit stress at UWM and Better Home and Finance that's forcing regulators to look harder at what sits outside the depository perimeter. The most consequential shift this cycle isn't a rate decision. It's a regulatory door opening. A federal bank regulator has extended national trust charters to Bitcoin and crypto firms, letting qualifying stablecoin issuers skip the 50-state money transmitter licensing regime, historically a $10 to $20 million, 18 to 24-month compliance burden. Congress, meanwhile, remains gridlocked on the Clarity Act, the digital asset market structure bill meant to set the rules of the road. So banks partnering with these charter holders are effectively operating ahead of the legislation meant to govern them. The broader fintech pattern here is regulatory arbitrage moving faster than regulatory clarity, with institutions absorbing that timing risk whether they've priced it or not. That same pattern shows up, in different form, in tokenized lending. According to Jordy Visser's macro briefing, Figure Technologies, consumer loan marketplace processed $4.3 billion in the second quarter, up 132% year over year. What matters more than the growth rate is the composition. Its on-chain settlement layer, Figure Connect, is now approaching 70% of total marketplace volume. Tokenized settlement moving from pilot to majority share inside a regulated lending marketplace and a direct competitive template against bank warehouse lending and traditional securitization desks. Looking at the regulatory landscape, none of the agencies overseeing warehouse lending have fully caught up to a settlement rail that clears on-chain by default rather than as an exception. The second major thread is how quickly AI agent infrastructure economics are being repriced and how directly that touches bank compliance budgets. Google's Gemini 3.7 Flash launched August 13th at promotional pricing of 75 cents per million input tokens and $3.75 per million output tokens before reverting higher in 2027. OpenAI, backed by Cerebra's infrastructure, is pushing an inference tier nicknamed UltraAST that explicitly targets fraud detection and financial research workloads at 14 times normal inference speed. Building on that, this isn't a consumer chatbot story. It's an infrastructure cost curve that determines how cheaply a bank can run real-time transaction monitoring at scale, and both providers are pricing directly at that use case. The flip side of cheaper inference is cheaper offense. ZAI's open weight model, GLM 5.3, scored 84.5% on a vulnerability discovery benchmark, edging out Anthropic's tightly controlled Cyborg 5 at 83.8%. More importantly, actually weaponizing a discovered flaw still concentrates in vetted access programs, where Anthropic's model scored 78% against GLM's 54.4%. Anthropic itself disclosed that its internal misalignment risk estimate moved from very low to low, tied specifically to cyber incidents, and admitted its own safety evaluations no longer fully capture the pace of capability gains, a caveat worth escalating for any bank leaning on vendor safety benchmarks in third-party risk reviews. Stepping back to the macro backdrop, Peter Cheer at Academy Securities points to two inflation drivers sitting outside the Fed's rate policy control: oil prices tied to the Iran conflict, and AI and data center capital expenditure pulling hard on chip and energy demand. He also flagged that incoming Fed Chair Kevin Warsh is running what's being called the most significant Fed data task force in decades, aimed at known lag and bias problems in CPI, particularly the owner's equivalent rent proxy, which tracks single-family rentals even though most renters live in multifamily units. The broader fintech pattern here is a Fed reaction function likely drifting toward real-time private indicators like Zillow rents, pushing banks and asset managers to stress-test rate assumptions against a faster-moving policy signal than futures markets currently reflect. On market structure, the chart worth noting is S&P 500 composition. Technology and communication services now make up 47% of the index's market cap, exceeding the dot-com era peak. Pair that with U.S. household equity allocation at 37% of total assets and 53% of financial assets, both all-time highs, and you get concentration risk sitting at the index level and the household balance sheet level simultaneously. Now to where the stress is actually showing up, non-bank mortgage credit. UWM built a $27.5 billion notional derivatives position tied to a failed Two Harbors acquisition, and as 10-year yields climbed toward 4.3%, that position produced a first-quarter loss of $138.2 million and a second-quarter loss of $603 million. $741 million combined over 6 months, cutting UWM's book equity 38% from $1.6 billion to $985 million. The company raised $2.05 billion from Oaktree to shore that up, and Oaktree now holds approval rights over UWM's hedging policy, which tells you exactly where the market believes the next control failure could originate. Better Home & Finance is dealing with a different flavor of the same underlying issue. Governance. The company has posted more than $1.5 billion in cumulative losses since 2022 across 11 straight quarterly losses, and its board has now disclosed that counsel identified communications potentially evidencing securities law violations by founder Vishal Garg. Meanwhile, Zillow, still growing revenue up 18% year-over-year to $772 million, mortgage segment revenue up 75%, cut more than 500 jobs concentrated in engineering, machine learning, and compliance roles. More importantly, that's compliance headcount shrinking at the exact moment non-bank mortgage risk is escalating elsewhere in the sector. The broader fintech pattern connecting UWM, Better, and Zillow is straightforward. Oversight gaps outside the depository perimeter are widening faster than GSEs, warehouse lenders, and regulators are pricing them. One counterweight on the infrastructure side, Oracle deployed a 98-qubit trapped ion system called Helios inside a U.S. cloud data center with IONQ, drawing roughly 60 kilowatts versus the 16 to 39,000 kilowatts a comparable GPU cluster requires. IONQ's quarterly revenue hit $80 million, up 287% year-over-year, with commercial customers now 60% of revenue. The practical opportunity for risk teams is a 250 to 650 times power efficiency advantage on workloads like Monte Carlo value at risk simulation, and with NIST's post-quantum cryptography standards already finalized, institutions have a real window to migrate before cryptographic risk timelines compress. FinTech thesis update: what changed today is the location of risk, not its size. Settlement risk is migrating on-chain faster than warehouse lending oversight can follow. Compliance cost risk is being repriced downward by AI inference economics, even as offensive AI capability gets cheaper in parallel. And credit risk that used to sit inside depository institutions is now concentrated in non-bank. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.